Answer my question! The question, jerk!
Hey, listen, nerds. You're listening to the Two-Headed Nerd Answer of the Week podcast with Joe and Matt.
Welcome back to another Answer of the Week. My name is Matt Baum. I am one of the hosts of the award-winning Two-Headed Nerd comic book podcast, the most important podcast on the internet to date.
The only podcast on the internet.
The only one. The man sitting across from me is Joe Patrick.
I'm Joe Patrick.
You probably know him from the aforementioned Two-Headed Nerd comic book podcast as well.
Mm-hmm.
He's America's beloved Joe Patrick. Sweet guy.
I'm America's sweetheart.
Here's what we do on this show. Each week, Joe Patrick posts the question of the week on the Two-Headed Nerd forum. You can find them by clicking the forum button at twoheadednerd.com. You go there. You read the question. This week, the question is...
Originally, it was in honor of the creative shift in Batgirl and the redesign and everything. But hey, a lot of love for the ladies this week in comics. So, this week's question is, who is your favorite female comic book character? Doesn't have to be a superhero.
I love it. It's ladies' night in the ziggurat, boys.
Boom.
And girls.
And you know what? We got a lot of calls.
We ask the question, you guys answer it. Let's get straight to it. That's what this show is all about. As usual, Randy Andrews, right on time with his answer. Send an MP3.
Always first.
Greetings, Joe and Matt. This is Randy Andrews, emailing in for the question of the week. This week, you asked, who is your favorite female character, female comic book character, and why? My favorite is Jean Grey from the X-Men. No other female has such depth as her to me. She has went through death and then life. Then with the current run of All New X-Men, she's learning what her responsibility is and how she affected an entire planet's death. She even now takes the responsibility very well. Jean Grey even has different psychic powers now, giving her a fresh new lease on her old character. Well, guys, that's all I have to say right now. You can find some of my favorite answers on the forum and check out my Spider-Man 2099 blog at spidey2099.blogspot.com.
This guy's all over the place.
Catch you later. Bye for now.
Where did you get that super funky animated X-Men music? That is awesome.
It was pretty great. And I didn't realize what we were hearing until he said the words Jean Grey.
Okay.
And I was like,
that was super funky. Jean Grey, solid answer.
Yeah, she's a classic.
I expect to get a few more Jean Greys in here.
I don't know, man.
I'm going to be shocked if we don't.
Randy, as always, thank you very much.
Get to our first call. I have no idea who this is. Let's see.
Hey, Joe and Matt. This is Chase Magnet, writer of Comics Bulletin and DC Infinite, at Reverend Magnet on Twitter, calling in for the answer of the week. This week, he asked who our favorite woman in comics is, and I didn't have to think about this question for more than a second. Her full name is Amanda Blake Waller, but we know her better as The Wall. Created by John Ostrander and John Byrne in the event Legends, she starred in Ostrander and Luke McDonald's spinoff series, Suicide Squad. Anyone who knows me knows that I love The Suicide Squad. It was the comic that got me into comics and remains one of my all-time favorite series more than a decade after first discovering it in a quarter bin. The Wall is the heart of the team and remains a character way ahead of her time in superhero books. Not only is she one of the most diverse figures in comics as a middle-aged, full-bodied black woman who raised herself and her family out of the Chicago Project, but Ostrander and McDonald made her into one of the most psychologically complex characters at DC Comics.
Isn't she sexy?
Suicide Squad number 10 that really captures why I love The Wall, though.
We'll get to that.
In this issue, Batman breaks into Belrive Prison and beats most of the squad while seeking proof to expose the team to the public. Ultimately, only The Wall is able to stand up to Batman, and she makes him back down. With nothing but her iron will and determination, she beats the Bat. That's why I love The Wall. It's just too bad she hasn't been seen since the New 52 reboot. But that's a topic for another question. Thanks, guys.
That's a fantastic answer.
Enough said, man. Yeah. I don't think we need to talk about that anymore.
We were both going to make jokes about it, but Chase Magnet, Reverend Magnet, nails it as usual.
Great answer,
Amanda Waller.
That
love that
a
answer.
Great answer. Yeah.
And that's another, big loss for the New 52, the way they've done her. She was like DC's badass Oprah, you know? Like, she was big. She was opinionated. You couldn't mess with her, you know? Man, I miss The Wall. Got someone hitting us on the Google Voice from Santa Rosa, California. Beautiful place. Love Santa Rosa.
Hey guys, Aaron Myers here, THN Love Slave, and one half of the Comics Therapy podcast, comicstherapy.com, calling in with my answer. So there's a lot of easy answers, and there's a lot of good answers for this, and it's really hard to pick one. So instead of going with an easy Marvel or DC character, which has a ton of great female characters, I'm going to go with an independent that I have been reading for quite some time.
Lady
Death. It's going to be Snow White from Fable, who, as far as like female characters go, you know, what Willingham did with Fable and the female characters and the fairy tale characters that we kind of perceived and pretended to know in that series, really kind of put things on their, you know, on their heads and created this strong, intelligent, powerful female character that we kind of had a basis for understanding, but really then realized we have no basis for understanding, and got to discover and meet this pretty amazing female character over the last, I don't know, was it 10 years now? So that's kind of what came to mind first, and that is going to be my answer, which is going to be the best one of the week. And
confident, yeah, young lad.
So let's just end the show. All right, talk to you later. Bye.
You got to admire his chutzpah. I think Google says he's in a different place every time he calls.
I think that's right. I think, yeah, he's calling from his dirigible. He's floating around. The comics therapy dirigible.
Right. You know what? I love the Fables version of Snow White. Love her. And I think that's an amazing answer.
That's a great answer. If I was going Fables, I think Cinderella would be my favorite.
Yeah.
She
that's
so cool, man.
It's tough to beat Cinderella.
Like Special Agent Cinderella. She's great.
You know, while she was ultimately kind of a villain, I love what they did with Goldilocks when Willingham turned her into this Che Guevara type revolutionary leader that wanted to overthrow Fabletown.
Yeah.
Yeah, Fables, man.
Great.
Get on it. If you haven't read it, get on it.
Good answer. Andrew Blazer, is this a new one?
Boom.
We got a new caller.
Like four new calls.
Look at this.
Four new people called.
Andrew Blazer, welcome aboard. Hope I'm saying that right. Let's see what you got.
Hey guys, Andrew Blazer calling in.
Listen,
first time caller,
long time
listener. Love the show. Love listening to what the other listeners have to say. My answer this week is Heather Douglas, aka Madam McEvil, aka Moondragon. She first appeared in Iron Man number 54 under the name Madam McEvil. But when Heather was still a girl, her parents accidentally witnessed the spaceship of Thanos land. And Thanos didn't want any witnesses, so he blew up their car, killed her parents, but she was thrown clear.
Or did he?
And her father would later become Drax the Destroyer, but Heather was found by Thanos' father, Mentor, and brought to Titan to be raised by monks. Now, one of the reasons why I picked Moondragon is because, unlike other Marvel characters who gain their powers through birth or an accident, Moondragon got her talents strictly from extreme training and personal discipline.
Yeah.
Now, she has trained her body to its peak potential as a master martial artist.
Thank you, Handbook.
She's a chemist, a genetic engineer, a starship pilot, and she's the most powerful Earthborn telepath in the Marvel universe. She's
Suck
more
it,
powerful
Xavier.
Than Professor X, Emma Frost, and Jean Grey. She's so powerful that Adam Warlock had to put restrictions on the mind gem to prevent her from misusing it. The coolest thing about Moondragon is just her resume, which I'm going to list off a little bit here. She forced Iron Man to battle Namor just so she could study them. She briefly restored Daredevil's sight, which is pretty cool. She took mental control of an entire planet and forced the inhabitants to live in peace. She killed her father, Drax, with mental powers. And like I said, at one point she possessed the mind gem, which is pretty cool. She's beaten Captain America and Mantis in hand-to-hand combat. She can punch through steel with her bare hands. And she has been a member of the Guardians of the Galaxy, the Infinity Watch, the Defenders, and the Avengers. All in all, Moondragon is a total badass, and that's why I picked her. So, thanks for taking my call. Bye-bye.
Love the Moondragon answer.
You know what? I would have never, ever considered Moondragon.
Kick-ass answer.
But Andrew makes a real strong case for her.
She's a total badass.
She is, but she's also like totes crazy.
Yeah. Well, you know, you're raised by Thanos. Come on.
She's like the ultimate high maintenance, like snob that thinks she knows how to run everything.
Oh, yeah. She's a whack job. The Guardians of the Galaxy dealt with her not too long ago, and it was pretty funny. She was crazy. Love the answer, though. Digging deep. Nice job, Blazer. Welcome aboard. We love first-time callers.
You did it.
But we love guys that call all the time, too, like our very own Camarillo Brillo. See what he's got.
Hey, guys. It's Camarillo Brillo calling in to answer about who my favorite female is in comic books. And as an amateur writer myself, it can be hard to write a woman and feel like you are going to do it in a respectful way. As we're all aware, a woman's sexuality in comic books is usually taken to the nth degree, and it's sort of embarrassing for all of us, or not, which, in case you should be more embarrassed than you are.
Right on.
But then the fear reaction to that is to have flat female characters who are devoid of any sort of sexuality or have somehow crossed over into almost like a hyper-masculinity to prove they're one of the boys, and it's equally as embarrassing and uninteresting to me anyway. And so one character I think that really gets it right, especially in recent stories, and I'm going to try not to cry when we talk about Asgardians, but Lady Sif, she is just herself. I mean, she's tough. She's obviously a little humorless, but also has kind of her femininity intact. One of my favorite nods to this was there was an episode of Journey into Mystery where Fenris was trying to cause some trouble. And so one of Volstagg's daughters is on the case, and she's waking up and rousing all the adults to let them in on this conspiracy that's going on. And Sif is with Thor in his chambers, and everybody's kind of like, I thought you guys broke up, and she's like, we did. And they're like, but? And she's like, we're not talking about this. I love that she had her private life and that it was private. I love that she still has that part of your humanity that it should exist, you know, that you're still going to have, you know, those type of feelings and those type of experiences. But isn't the main part of her character. You know, she doesn't have the boob window in her costume. She was one of the most interesting female characters I felt Marvel had. And it was hard for me to watch Journey into Mystery disappear. So, rather than cry about Thor, I'll cry about Lady Sif. And I hope she gets another shot at a series, because really that was some remarkable storytelling. I wish it would have had the readership to stick around. So, there you go, dudes. Thanks. Bye.
Totally agree. Marvel was doing a kick-ass job. Was that Catherine Immelman was writing that?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, on that Journey into Mystery starring Lady Sif. She's a total badass. She's a little leggy, but she never had to hang her jugs out to be sexy. You know, she was all woman, but she was just as tough as any dude she ran into. She was Marvel's Wonder Woman is what they were building her into. And, man, I loved it. I totally loved it. That's a great answer, too.
Yeah, I totally agree.
Lady Sif, complete badass. Love her.
Thanks, as always, Carl.
Hitting us from the 661. The 661. Bakersfield, California. There we go.
Sorry, Randy. My choice isn't Danger Girl. Sorry, Andrea. My choice isn't Hot Kate. Sorry, Joe. My choice isn't Supergirl, even though she died with heroism in The Crisis. Had a great series by Peter David in the early 2000s. If you haven't read that book, it's wonderful.
He's
sorry,
right.
Keith Silva, wherever you are, my choice isn't Maggie and or Hopi from Love and Rockets. Sorry to me from last week, whose choice would have been the Wasp as a technological genius, the match of Tony Stark and Henry Pym, so I didn't call in, bummer. And sorry, 14-year-old me, my choice isn't Kitty Pryde, every comic book fan's manic pixie dream girl from back in the day.
Oh.
No, my favorite female character in comics, me being Jason Sachs at Jason Sachs on the Twitter, my favorite female character is Big Barda. Barda has it all. She's strong.
Nice.
She can handle herself in a fight. She's as tough or maybe even tougher than her husband, Mr. Miracle. She's an apocalyptical Amazon, and oh yeah, she's beautiful too. Face it, Barda's the girl we all wish we knew. She can kick ass and take names. She's got amazing friends, and she's hardened in the fire pits of apocalypse. With the possible exception of Wonder Woman, there's no woman you'd rather have next to you in a fight more than Big Barda. Thanks, guys. Buy my book, The American Comic Book Chronicles, 1970s, from Tomorrow's Press. Hey, Sparta premiered in the 70s. Go Jack Kirby.
Sexier loves Big Barda.
I love how he never starts off with his own name.
The guy's got a fantastic way to introduce himself every time. Love the Big Barda answer.
Yeah, me too.
Love it. I remember
I'm a huge fan
in DC 1 million where like the JLA from the year 1 million came back and Wonder Woman was like made of marble.
Yeah, yeah.
And she came and like Big Barda squared off with her and like broke her into pieces. It's like totally nailed her. It was awesome. And like in their relationship, she's married to Mr. Miracle. Big Barda is without a doubt the tough one. Mr. Miracle.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But she definitely wears the pants.
He's
in that
the soft one. Yeah.
Yeah. But he's not like a prancing princess.
No, I mean, but you know what I mean. She's the tough gun. Great answer, Sexier. I didn't even think about Big Barda. Silva, who sent us his answer, THN answer of the week, and in parentheses, chicks. Wow, a little heart in the background here.
Nerds, it's Emancipated THN Love Slave, Keith Silva. Try as I might to convince myself, my favorite female character is any other woman, then Ilyana Nikolaevna Alexandria Rasputina is a lie. Sorry, Casey McKenna, take your blood sword, your bio circuitry, and your cool frameless glasses, and save some other Ronin. Same goes for you too, Carrie Kelly. After Burt Ward, you'll always be my favorite Robin. Yeah, I said it. The line forms behind Carrie Kelly. I have other favorite female characters, and some of them don't even appear in 1980s Frank Miller comics. I'm sorry to let you down, Bombster, but I'm not the Patrick Bating instigator I play on Twitter. I'm ashamed to admit it, but the sad truth is, I'm more Joe Patrick than Matt Bomb.
Oh.
Or I was. Listen, I grew up Catholic. I went to parochial school. I was an altar boy. And like any Catholic boy growing up in the suburbs in the mid-1980s, I was fascinated by Frank Miller and Satan. The devil was in music, movies, and comics. Now, it might be my ego getting in the way, but I'm sure magic was expressly created by Claremont, the Chris in charge of our days and our nights, for 11-year-old boys who scared their parents listening to Iron Maiden, Black Sabbath, and Anthrax, and watching Slumber Party Massacre 2, The Serpent and the Rainbow, and Children of the Corn.
Nice.
Magic has everything young boys want. She's got her own place, Limbo. She can summon a demon, Sim. And she has the Soul Sword. Not to mention she's besties with Kitty Pryde. Whoop! Sorry, Joe. She has a psychic bond with Kitty. And with Storm, if continuity matters. It doesn't.
You shut up!
Also, you shut your filthy mouth. I don't recognize anything that's been done to poor Ilyana since 1989, aside from how Chris Bacalo draws the Soul Sword.
It's
so you
cool.
can stick your Legacy Virus, your Age of Apocalypse, your House of M, Excalibur, and Exiles in a Belasco-shaped pipe and use it for a self-administered proctology exam.
Woo!
My magic is the magic who wears Lockheed like a hat. Don't forget to tune into the next Ass Pocket of Whiskey, the podcast, where we'll be debuting a new sponsor for the show, the Joe Patrick School for Cosmetology and Comic Book Continuity. I don't have to tell you. Classes are filling up fast.
He's a magic man. Yeah. Oh.
That was wonderful. That was wonderful. A brief history of Keith Silva and his life with Satan. And it turns out
it explains a lot.
He loves magic. I love magic too. Colossus is little snowflake, man. I love that character.
I am indifferent to magic.
Oh, I love magic. Always love
magic. I don't
that
dislike
character.
Magic. I didn't grow up reading New Mutants, so I had no connection to magic.
I grew up reading New Mutants, and I love magic.
I didn't read X-Men comics till the 90s, boy. They didn't have them at the newsstand where I bought my comics.
Okay. They did at the quick shop where I stole mine.
They didn't have them at my quick shop.
Well, you're shopping at the wrong quick shop, buddy.
I guess so.
Tom Barnett, hit us with an MP3. He's a smart guy. See what Tom's got to say.
Hey, Joe and Matt. Long-time listener, first-time caller. This is Tom Barnett, otherwise known as T-Photo10 on the tweets, calling in about the question of the week.
I know that guy.
Favorite female in comic books? There's a lot of them. She-Hulk, Hellcat, Kitty Pryde. But I'm going to have to go with Lady Sif. The first time I saw her was on a cover of The Mighty Thor, probably right around number 230 somewhere in there. It was a cover drawn by Bill Sienkiewicz, and it had her, Dracula, and Thor on the cover.
Oh, hell yeah. I thought,
who is this?
I know exactly what you're talking about.
Warrior goddess. Now, in that issue, she was kind of whiny, as some of the female characters were written back then. But now, all these years later, Catherine Amonin, Valerio Schiti, Jordi Belair, and cover artist Jeff DeCall reimagined Lady Sif and gave her 10 issues of fantastic adventure in the recent Journey into Mystery series. Lady Sif was strong. She was headstrong. She was funny. She was sensitive. She was brilliant with a sword. And she was beautiful. And that is my favorite female in comics. Thanks, guys. Love the show.
Welcome aboard, Tom Barnett. I must have imagined that he's called us before.
Nope.
No.
But I believe it's Valerio Schiti.
I believe it is Valerio Schiti. I believe that's correct.
No, I...
Another vote for Lady Sif.
That's two for Lady Sif.
I like it. I like
it. Man, I would have expected that we were going to get a different one for every call.
Yeah, right? Starting to see a pattern forming here. Got another new guy here hitting us with an MP3, Gene Law. Welcome aboard, Gene. Let's see what you got.
Hello, two-headed nerd. This is Gene from Chicago. My favorite female comic book character happens to be starring in a current ongoing series, and her name is Pearl Jones from American Vampire by Scott Snyder and Raphael Albuquerque. Pearl's what you would get if you merged Preacher's Tulip, Cassidy, and Saint of Killers all into one tattooed 1920s flapper with a heart of gold. And while the high school nice guy, dork inside of me grinds his teeth at her never-ending attraction to bad boy and fellow American vamp Skinner Sweet, when I'm reading it in issues, I always look forward to her side of the bigger story more than any other character. It's this series, coupled with his female leads in The Wake, that make me look forward to the day that Snyder gets handed the reins of a DC superheroine solo book. Love the show. Peace out.
Skinner's hot. What do you want to do? Girls like bad boys. I mean, come on.
That's a great answer.
That's a really good answer.
Another one I really wouldn't have thought of.
Welcome aboard, Gene.
Good on you, Gene.
Yeah,
thanks for calling in,
buddy. On, buddy. Andrew Shockling hitting us with what will no doubt be a heady and intelligent MP3 that'll be just right over our heads. Our poor dumb old boys. Let's see what she has in store for us.
Hi, boys. It's Andrea. At Andrea Shock on Twitter. One half of comics therapy and a total slackass when it comes to answering your question the past couple of weeks.
It's true.
But I just finished rereading Lock and Key. You know, instead of all the new comics I have piling up or, I don't know, whatever the digital equivalent of that is. So I can say with confidence that it's my favorite series ever. I mentioned Nina back in May when we talked about best moms in comics, but hands down, Kinsey is my favorite female character. I don't usually love female superheroes. All too often, they're just an analog to male counterparts with really nothing that I connect to in their struggles or their successes beyond being superpowered. There are some exceptions, of course, and I love the stories. But when I think about female characters who really resonate with me, none of my top gals are superheroes. Kinsey is approachable, but also vulnerable. She's strong without being a bitch. She's loyal and loving, and she's angry and scared. Her approach to moving across the country after tragedy strikes her family is to adopt a new persona, physically and emotionally, at school. She wants to fly under the radar, to fit in, to start over. She wants to change who she is. It always struck me as an inherently female approach, and one that I bet is at once sympathetic and relatable for a lot of female readers. She's a total badass as the story progresses, though. We see the extent of her love for her family and her friends, and it's really moving and believable in the midst of this horror-filled descent into chaos. I wish a character like Kinsey had been available to me as a teenager, because my appreciation for her complexity and authenticity is definitely due somewhat to hindsight. But she feels really real, and that's why it's so awesome when she's literally overcoming her demons. It's empowering without being cloy, and it's hella entertaining. Catch you guys later.
Matt has no idea what you're talking
That's
about.
That's not true. I've been reading it. I'm on the second storyline. And I like Kinsey too. And I like that she, what Shock was saying, she's very believable in the fact that she's flawed. She deals with things like, a young teenage girl probably would be dealing with things. Very well written. I like that answer a lot. I think if I had to pick one, though, so far, I would pick the mom. I really like the mom in that story.
Sure, sure.
Such a strong character.
I like Andrea's answer a lot. There's something that happens in Lock and Key that I will try not to spoil in detail, but Kinsey has the chance to unburden herself from some things that are kind of weighing her down. And if you've read far enough, you'll kind of get the picture of what I'm talking about. But of course, it doesn't work out, and she ends up kind of picking those burdens back up again, those feelings back up again, because, you know, she can't really do without them. And it's such a real thing, you know. She's got this magical opportunity to all of a sudden not have to deal with certain things. And of course, you know, she learns that she has to. And her arc is really fascinating in Lock and Key, as is every single character's arc in that book. It really is quite amazing. So I love that answer.
More MP3s. They just keep coming. And I think this is another first timer.
You know, I don't remember.
Hello, John, Matt. This is Jamie Hancock. And this is my answer to the answer of the week question about
another Brit here.
My favorite is X-23. Around about 4 or 5 years ago, I decided to start getting into comics properly. I'd always enjoyed reading comics before that, but never really kind of explored them properly. Always relied on other people to lend me like graphic novels and trade paperbacks and stuff. And then started looking around online to see which comics were good. And I think I saw a review of X-23 and thought I'd give it a try. And it was during Marjorie Liu's run on X-23, which was cancelled, which I was very sad about. And it was everything I was looking for, really. It was really exciting. It was cleverly written. There was a lot of emotional depth there. And I think Marjorie Liu really kind of nailed the character. What I like about the character is she's combines this kind of emotional vulnerability with being physically very formidable. She's meant to have come from this quite horrific background where she was kind of raised in a laboratory to be an assassin. And she kind of speaks in a little bit like Jeff Bridges in Starman, like speaks really correctly and doesn't use contractions and things, which is another kind of nice thing about the character. She's got this sort of alien seeing the normal world for the first time thing about her. And it was just a really fun comic and really enjoyable. It was everything I was looking for. And also, a lot of my favorite characters in fiction will be the sort of like minor characters. I'm the sort of Boba Fett type person. Like they're the ones that I like rather than the main ones. And the Marjorie Liu's run on it, it did get kind of a bit silly at the end. Like, I know with superhero comics, far-fetched is a bit of a relative term, but it got a little bit far-fetched. But still great, and I strongly recommend, you know, anybody to check that run out. I must admit, I haven't gone further with the character. I haven't read Avengers Arena, which is probably pretty silly because I understand it's really good, but I'm just a bit scared that other writers won't handle X-23 as well as Marjorie Liu did. But eventually I'll get there and I'll start reading them. It might also be something to do with the fact that I'm a bit broke at the moment, but there you go. That's my favorite character is X-23, and that's the end of my MP3. I hope that the hazing for the MP3 crew isn't, you know, too rough, because I'm quite old. Goodbye, Joe and Matt. Goodbye.
Not so much rough as it is scatological. Just
wow,
be warned.
Gross.
Yeah, it's disgusting. It's not up to us. Hey, if I had any say in it, I'd put an end to it, but these guys are out of control. All right. Jamie, welcome aboard. X-23, it's a good answer.
You know what?
You've got to read Avengers Arena. She was awesome in that book.
I was telling somebody just the other day that X-23 is way cooler than anyone gives her credit for.
Oh, yeah. One of those, like, most improved characters. Started off, I mean, in the pages of NYX, created by Craig Kyle back in 2003. He went on to write her in,
There were a couple of X-23 minis.
Yeah.
And then she was in the pages of A relaunched version of New X-Men that was essentially New Mutants at the time.
It was like an X-Men Academy type book.
And then from there, she ended up joining Avengers Academy.
Yes.
Right?
Briefly. Yeah. Briefly. She wasn't there
towards the tail end of that run, which dovetails into Avengers Arena. X-23 is a character, a great character, very underrated. Cool. I really enjoy.
Start off as just like a female Wolverine clone. But man, she's become so cool.
She's very, very easy to discount her as just a ripoff.
Yeah.
Wolverine with boobs, and she's not. She's, yeah. She's much more complex than that.
Gregory Litchfield, the THN old timer, with another MP3 here. Let's see who his favorite lovely comic book lady is.
Greetings, two-headed nerds. This is your number one true believer, Greg Litchfield, and the official THN old-timer. This week's question did not specify as to whether it was an all-time favorite female character or a current favorite, so I chose to go with my current favorite. Firstly, because it's a much easier question to answer than, secondly, to prove that I'm not just an old fuddy-duddy fan of classic Marvel comics.
Nice use of
my
funny
current day. Favorite female comic book character is Forever Carlyle from the comic Lazarus, published by Image and written by Greg Rucka, drawn by Michael Lark. Forever is a protector, or Lazarus, of the Carlyle family. She lives in a near future which has been devastated by economic, political, and environmental collapse. The families have taken control of sectors of the world through control of wealth, resources, and it is the job of their Lazarus to protect the family by any means necessary. Forever Carlyle was genetically engineered from birth to not only give her superior strength, stamina, reflexes, and to heal from almost any wound, but also to be unquestionably loyal to her family. Forever has been trained in various martial arts and multiple weapons disciplines from birth to be the perfect weapon. What makes Forever such an appealing and fascinating character is that although she commits acts in the name of her family that may seem brutal or without pity, beneath her cool facade, there is a depth of character that demonstrates she is undoubtedly troubled by her actions and the consequences of them. Rucka's sparse prose and dialogue-driven narrative, along with Lark's realistic and unaffected artwork, have created a character in Forever Carlyle that you can both be dismayed by and identify with, but always feel empathy for. There you go, Matt and Joe. I'm not just a THN old-timer, but the old-time hipster. Anyone interested in the old-timer's opinions on comics can find me on Twitter at Greg Litchfield. This is Greg Litchfield saying, "Nuff said!"
Forever Carlyle.
That's a great answer.
That's an awesome answer.
Yeah, I love it.
There's like a whole well of Greg Rucka female characters that you could delve into. And I would take any one of them.
There really is.
Like any one of them. Nobody writes like empowered, strong, slightly flawed female characters like Rucka does, man. Mm-hmm. So good.
Greg, thank you as always. Your calls are a treat.
Wonderful. Love the echo in the beginning. That was great.
Yeah.
Good stuff. Shonix. Sending us MP3.
Our final contributor.
No,
those are the intros.
Oh, it's the last one.
Yep.
Shonix, our final contributor. I like to pretend that he's predictable and guess what he's going to say every week.
I'm going to say magic.
I'm wrong every time. I do think it's an X-Lady.
I'm going to say magic.
I think it's an X-Lady. I'm going to go with Kitty Pryde.
All right.
I can't believe we have, like, they've glanced Kitty Pryde, but nobody's like come right out and be like, Kitty Pryde!
I know, right?
She is my girl!
America's girlfriend, Kitty Pryde.
Shonix emailing in with my answer to the question of the week. This for the ladies. Wow.
Don't make it weird.
This was a tough question. I went back and forth and back and forth, and I kept going to this character, but I don't really care for her currently. But I still, when I think about my favorite female superhero, I always lead back to this purple-haired beauty. And it is Psylocke. I mean, I gotta say it. I mean, it all started back when I was just starting to read comics. Like, I was just reading comics back in Uncanny. It was like 200s, like 201, and then they're sprinkled in there. So you had Mutant Massacre. You had The Brood. You had the kind of the beginning of Genosha. And all those kind of things were in there. But you had, like, Psylocke. And it was like shortly after the Mutant Massacre when her and Sabretooth fought, and she like defended the infirmary where Sabretooth was trying to kill people, and it just there was a fantastic battle and the psychic butterfly and her purple hair, and it was just like all this just, and she became an X-Men after that. And I was reading, I remember an Uncanny Annual number 11, Alan Davis did the art and Chris Claremont drew it, and there was a moment between her and Brian, her brother, Captain Britain, in the kitchen, and she, you know, is just kind of overwhelmed by what has been happening while she's been with the X-Men. And it was just kind of like she'd been doing all this fighting before and, like, you know, hero stuff before as with the Britain Corps and whatnot, as an agent and all these things. But it just with the X-Men, it was just a little overwhelming. And there's something about that I like, because she overcame that and throughout, you know, the issues. And she had that Doug Ramsey complex where, you know, she had to wear the armor because, you know, so she wouldn't get hurt. And but really the armor was just kind of, you know, hiding her. And there's those moments where she'd come back out, especially in the outback, and you'd see that softer side. And I just really, really enjoyed that character. Issue 218, Uncanny, where it's, you know, Dazzler and Rogue and Longshot and Psylocke, and they're all fighting Juggernaut. Well, 217 as well, but mostly 218 with that Art Adams cover. Fantastic. How could you not like Psylocke? She had her eyeballs replaced with cameras.
Forgot about that.
Mojo. What a fantastic character. But Psylocke, purple hair for the win. Curly purple hair in the Brit body for the switch. Great question. Keep them coming, guys. I'll keep calling in or emailing in. Peace.
Totally with you. Prim and proper, Betsy Braddock. That was my Psylocke, man. She wore like the fluffy pink outfit.
Yeah, at first she had a fluffy
she had the
outfit.
Psychic butterfly. This is before she was like slutty ninja Psylocke or whatever, which I've learned to like more. But man, old school British Betsy, loved her. Oh, I loved her so much.
That's a fun answer.
Ugh.
Not what I expected. I don't think.
I didn't see that coming.
Favorite call?
I'm looking down the list. I've got the list if you need it, by the way.
I already know.
You already know. What's yours? Give me yours.
Andrew Blazer, Moondragon.
Blazer with Moondragon? I like that one a lot.
She's not my favorite character, but I just really...
I like the defense of Moondragon a lot.
His call was very well thought out. He'd obviously given it a lot of thought, and I think that he presented an excellent case for that character.
For Moondragon. Yeah. A vastly underused character.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with Silva. I'm going with Silva. Because I grew up with magic,
like,
as well.
You like Hart.
I do like Hart. And I grew up with magic as well. I had a crush on her for a long time. I loved Colossus's relationship with her, where he was always trying to protect her, but she was probably like even tougher than Peter. She was like the hard one, and Peter was the really sensitive guy. I loved her friendship with Kitty Pryde, how close they were. And then when she came back much later and she was like very different, Kitty was the only one that still trusted her and wanted to talk to her, even though she was like all dark and evil and scary. I love her in the pages of Uncanny X-Men right now. She is not my answer, though.
Okay, what's your answer,
then? She is not my answer. Silva, my favorite call. My answer, and I struggled with this.
It's a hard question.
I really struggled with this. I remember back in the day, I was reading John Byrne's Fantastic Four. I was in love with The Thing. The Thing was my favorite character in the Marvel Universe. And he left the Fantastic Four. And I was so pissed.
Okay, yeah.
I was so pissed. Like, what is the Fantastic Four without The Thing? This is when I first met Jen Walters, the She-Hulk.
Yeah.
John Byrne did such a wonderful job with that character. She was not hypersexualized. She was not a porn star, as some people referred to her recently.
People that should have known better.
Big, strong, green, feminine, badass. I love the She-Hulk. Absolutely love that character to this day. I love what Dan Slott did with her. I everything about that character. I've been a huge fan.
She-Hulk is my pick too.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, then I'm going to go with my other pick.
No, we can have the same pick.
You can have She-Hulk.
It's not a contest.
I know it's not a contest.
We can have the same pick.
But I'm saying he was neck and neck with this other character.
There's no...
Like, they were right
there. There's no second place. There's no backseat.
This isn't second place.
It's okay. Like, we're simpatico.
She was neck and neck. We are simpatico. But my other pick Madman's girlfriend, Joe Lombard.
What?
Joe. I loved her.
She's neck and neck with the She-Hulk?
Josephine Lombard. She red hair, freckles, absolutely adorable. Mike Allred drew her like the cutest girl in the world without making her slutty. She was the smart one. She was the voice of reason for Madman, who was like surrounded by all these lunatic like science characters and other zombies and superheroes. And Joe was the level-headed, smart, tough redhead that like served as his guiding light in this weird life that he had. She was this normal thing. And she was just wonderful. I loved her. I fell in love with her. I even dated a little redheaded freckled girl for a while because I wanted her to be her. But she was nuts. I hope she doesn't listen to this show.
I'm sure she does. I'm sure she does.
So I'm going with Joe Lombard. You can have She-Hulk. I'm going with Joe.
Whatever, coward.
Oh, I loved her.
She-Hulk is a character. I struggled with this a lot because there will never be enough, you know, great female characters in comics or other types of fiction. There are a lot of great female characters in comics.
Oh, yeah.
Zatanna, I thought about.
Zatanna's a good one. I just don't like her powers. I think they're dumb. I didn't like her dad's powers anyway, so it has nothing to do with her being a girl. Right.
Wonder Woman, of course. Like, I'm stunned nobody picked Wonder Woman because Wonder Woman has always kind of been the strongest representative of feminism in comics.
Yeah.
And it's easy to misinterpret her, but her whole deal right from the beginning has been, I'm here, I'm doing this, and no man is going to tell me I can't.
Well, and I'm here to show the men how it's done.
Right.
Too.
And all through, you know, her run, yes, you know, depending on creators and their own, you know, let's just say their own inclinations, you know, her character has maybe...
It's...
gone up and down in terms of portrayal.
Greg Rucka's Wonder Woman.
But Greg Rucka's Wonder Woman,
excellent.
I'm specifically thinking of when I say Wonder Woman as a contender.
Yeah.
The kind of woman, she's a warrior. She does what's right above all else. Mm-hmm. She's, you know, she's a warrior for truth.
He also wrote her as an ambassador.
And
though.
Justice, right. And someone who wouldn't hesitate to do what she knew was right. Even if it meant pissing off Superman and Batman or the world or whatever, because
killing Maxwell Lord, for example.
Exactly right. She's not my pick. She-Hulk is my pick.
Okay.
Again, a character that's very easy to misinterpret as this kind of like male fetish kind of thing, right?
Right. She's got a lasso. She ties dudes up.
No, She-Hulk, I mean. Oh, but that too.
But
yeah.
Wonder Woman as well, yeah.
But, you know, she's big and she's green and she's like dominating. She's big, yes, she's big and green and powerful, but she's a character that's always like celebrated the idea of being a hero and being able to do the right thing.
Right.
She's a character.
Well, and don't forget, she's also Jen Walters, who is a small, kind of frail woman,
mousy.
A talented lawyer, but she's mousy and kind of quiet. And when she becomes She-Hulk, she can cut loose. She can like... really be herself. She can like extend her natural ego into this super body and be a big, strong woman that she's always wanted to be. It's really cool.
Well, and I guess the idea that she kind of celebrates her abilities doesn't really have much to do with her femininity necessarily.
Not necessarily.
I just love that aspect of her character about how in the Marvel Universe, especially, there are so many characters that are like, my life is a curse and I kill everyone I care about. And
she's the equal and opposite of the Hulk. Whereas Bruce Banner is cursed. Jen Walters has a pretty kick-ass
life.
Is
blessed.
Yeah.
Right. and you know, she does not wallow in her role. She celebrates her role.
Yeah.
And I've always really loved that about She-Hulk. And she's always used so very well in terms of, you know, telling quirky stories with like offbeat, like the law stuff.
Yeah.
You know, from Dan Slott's run and the current She-Hulk run.
She's so great.
You know, where she's the one that gets the cases where Spider-Man suing J. Jonah Jameson for libel.
Right.
Or a ghost's widow is on trial for his murder when really he kind of offed himself and now he's the criminal and you have to get supernatural justice, so you call Doctor Strange. you know, that sort of like weird high concept law stories. I love that stuff. She-Hulk is one of my favorite female characters. I love how she's used. I love how she's celebrated for those aspects of her character, for right. her mind.
She's always been written as very much as her capable. Strength. She's always been capable, first and foremost.
And while, like any character, she has been mishandled in the past,
sure,
the vast majority of her stories get it way right, and yeah. I love that character.
Totally agree.
That was a fun question.
Fun question. Great answer, too.
Everyone had great answers.
Everybody had great answers.
This might
new
be
calls.
A record number of calls. I don't
think
know.
It is. I think it is. We had.
Let's just say that it is.
Definitely a record number of first-time callers, and I love that. If Absolutely. You're listening to the show and you like what's going on here, call us, man. You don't have to make an MP3. Just call us. Please. We love to hear from you guys. We got a new Brit. I don't know if he's across the pond or an expat, but I love that. Jamie, that was awesome.
Gene Law. Andrew Blazer.
Andrew Blazer, who will just be Blazer from from now on. Or Andrew Laser, I'll let you pick. I don't
Ooh,
know.
Andrew Laser.
Yeah, that's kind of cool, right?
Yeah. Andy Laser.
Gene called us in with his answer, Pearl from American Vampire. That was awesome.
Yeah.
Thanks so much, guys. You are what makes this show awesome. If you don't call, we don't have a show. So please, if you've been thinking about it, call us this week. We've got a new question going up Sunday. Joe Patrick, tell them all about it.
This week's question is, it comes courtesy of Ryan Mount on the forums. He wants to know your favorite example of early work by a well-known creator. So we're talking stuff that people did before they were big names.
Mike Mignola's Rocket Raccoon.
Yeah, totally.
There you go.
His example was he found an issue of Mighty Mouse from the 90s written by Dan Slott. Dan Slott also wrote Barbie comics.
Yeah.
No and shit. Ren and Stimpy.
I knew he wrote
that. Was, like, he wrote cartoon books in the 90s.
The
That's
Mighty
he
Mouse
did.
He did was the Spumco one. It was the Mighty
yeah,
Mouse.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Ren and Stimpy creators.
Yep, it was from Marvel, yeah.
Yeah.
And I think that's a super fun question. Yeah. I already have my answer all picked up.
We're going to get deep and really nerdy this time.
So if you're hearing this on Wednesday, the deadline for calls is Thursday.
Yes.
That's one day from now.
Thanks so much, guys and girls. We love you all. We'll see you again this weekend. Another exciting episode of the Two-Headed Nerd comic book podcast. This is the Two-Headed Nerd signing off.